Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, so we're back in Habakkuk. We left off in verse 11, Habakkuk 1:11, if you want to turn there. We were left off last week talking about this character here that we're going to be getting into the Antichrist. There's a whole lot more to delve into. But 2 Peter 1:20 says, knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. I know you've heard that probably many a times. So what is he saying in 2 Peter? He's saying that when you're looking at a scripture like this, then shall his mind change and he shall pass over and offend and imputing this power unto his God. You don't just take that verse and put your own little personal spin on it and try to interpret it yourself. And what you'll see a lot of times, some of the scholars, so-called, will get into, when they don't know what they're talking about, they'll run to the original Hebrew or the Greek or something like that to try to, or some historical reference to try to kind of fill in the gaps there, but they don't give you any Bible to understand who this character is it's talking about. And so we understand comparing Scripture with Scripture is how you get the interpretation, right? And I know that we understand that here is a temple, but a lot of folks out there that probably watch on the internet don't know that a lot of times. And so they get into this passage like this and it's confusing. So let's look at it. Let's look at the passage. Then shall his mind change and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this power unto his God. Now we went into this a little bit last time. Let's go to Daniel 11 again. A couple pages back, Daniel chapter 11. Now, I want you to notice when Daniel 11 is written, because we're going to be looking at types and pictures in the scripture here, but look at Daniel 11, when Daniel writes this vision down that he sees. 11:1, also in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. So Darius the Mede he's under Cyrus, King Cyrus, and he comes in, and when they attack Babylon, they dethrone Belshazzar. Okay, so this is around the time 536 BC, somewhere in that time frame. Okay, so obviously this prophecy that Daniel's talking about is a future person, right? You can look over at, let's just go to Daniel 11:36. Yes, Daniel 11:36. We'll get into the passage again. So this is a certain person that's in the future. Look at it says. Daniel 11:36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Okay, now what's that indignation? All right, so comparing scripture with scripture, you want to interpret the scripture this way. Hold your place in Daniel 11. Go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Scripture will tell you what the indignation is. Look at verse 20. So the Bible, you've heard it referred to as a text, right? Well, what's a text? A textile. What's a textile? That's a garment. Okay, so any garment is going to be woven together. Okay, and if you take one part out of that garment, you've got a hole in it, right? So if you take one word out of the Word of God, then you don't have a complete Bible, right? And so you'll see how the Bible, it interprets itself, and it's all connected. So I take you to a lot of different scriptures to show you that, to show you how this thing is all interconnected. All right, look at Isaiah 26:20. It says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now, what's the indignation? Well, Daniel's 70th week, right? The indignation. That's what's taking place. He says, come thou, my people, enter into thy chambers, shut thy doors about thee and hide thyself as it were for a little moment. Okay, so it's a small amount of time in God's eyes. All right, you'll read about this thing here when he tells them those wise virgins, they come up and they come into the chambers and he shuts the doors. Okay, that's Matthew 25. Okay, and you get that by comparing scripture to scripture, so you know the context there. So the indignation he's talking about let's go back to Daniel 11. All right, we know where we're at here. We're right here in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. This is what this thing is prophesying in Daniel. Go back to Daniel 11, verse 37. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. So the God of his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the fathers. So this, whoever this king is, has got some Jewish blood in him. He's called the wicked prince of Israel in Ezekiel 21:25. Okay? Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. And thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. So he's going to split up Israel for gain. Okay? So this is this person it's talking about that he's talking about in Habakkuk chapter 1. All right, so he's going to honor the God of forces. He's going to honor some strange God. Let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. They're going to worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, in verse 4. You see, he's got a deadly wound to the head in verse 3. Look at verse 5, Revelation 13, 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now, remember back in Habakkuk, he's going to impute that power unto his God. But who gave the power? God. Who always, you don't get any power except it comes from above. But this man here, he's arrogant. He's going to give that. He's going to impute that power. He's going to say, "My power came from his God, which is the dragon." Look, keep reading. And he opened his mouth and blasphemies against God to blaspheme His name and His tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. All right, so he's going to speak great blasphemies against the God of heaven, right? His tabernacle and against His tabernacle. That's the true tabernacle, as it tells you in Hebrews 8:2. Okay. And so he's going to give this credit basically to his God, which is the dragon. All right. So let's look back over here. Look at Isaiah 37. Let's look at here in the type. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 37. You can also find this same account of Sennacherib over here in 2 Kings 19, but we'll look at Isaiah 37. Look at verse 21. All right, then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent unto Hezekiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, where as thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed?" See this? "And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high?" Even against, notice this, the Holy One of Israel. All right. "By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord and hast said, by the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the size of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedars thereof and the choice fir thereof, and I will enter into the heights of the border and the forest of Carmel. I have digged and drunk water, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places." Now notice in those passages in verse 24 and 25, he mentions I five times. Did you count that? Now where else have you seen that? Isaiah 14. Okay, so that over there in Isaiah 14 is also talking about the Antichrist. Okay, thou didst weaken the nations. Okay, O Lucifer, son of the morning. All right, so you see it now. What's five a number of? Death. Okay, now notice just a few different points there. Notice he dries up all the rivers. He takes credit for that. He's imputing that power unto his God. He's arrogant. Look down here in verse 28. God speaks in 26 and 27. So look at verse 28. "But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook into thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest." See that? He's going to turn him. He's going to come in one way, and the Lord's going to turn him around. He's going to put a hook in his jaw. Okay? Notice you'll see I show up three times in verse 28. And 29. You'll also see the same thing in verse 26. Who's speaking there? There's the Godhead. Okay, he's talking to this certain character, but notice he puts a hook in his nose. Let's go to Ezekiel 29. We're looking at types of the Antichrist, and it's going to give you a picture. Look at Ezekiel 29. Look at Ezekiel 29, verse 3. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon, that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, my river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. See the arrogance? I did it. He's taking credit for something God did. He's sitting there taking credit for that borrowed axe head that wasn't yours to begin with. If you have anything, if you have any gift, it came from God. You're just borrowing it. Amen? It's a supernatural axe head. And if you're going to get any work done, it's going to come from the Lord. So when you start taking credit for those things, that's why it says, not a novice, lest be lifted up in pride, fall into condemnation of the devil. Okay? A novice is going to start feeling, well, boy, God's using me. And then he starts getting lifted up with pride, and God says, sit on the bench, boy. Right. Why? Because you're getting lifted up with pride. Amen? Okay, so that's what happens here. Now, let's look at this. But I will put my hook in thy jaws, verse 4, and I will cause the fish of thy rivers to stick unto thy scales, and I will bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all the fish of thy rivers shall stick unto thy scales, and I will leave thee thrown into the wilderness, thee and all the fish of thy rivers. Thou shalt fall upon open fields. Thou shalt not be brought together nor gathered. I have given thee for meat of the beasts of the field and to the fowls of heaven. And so I'm not going to take the time to run the reference there, but in Psalm 74, you got one of the heads of Leviathan that's broken, and it's going to feed the children of Israel in the wilderness and the tribulation. You say, that's crazy. That's Bible. Okay, he's giving you a type, and he's giving you a picture, so let's look at that thing. So we got Pharaoh as a type, right? We know that because look what he's called, the great dragon. All right, who else is called the great dragon? Satan himself. So you see Pharaoh is one of the types. Okay, you'll see seven heads on that dragon over in Revelation. He's got seven heads. And it's giving you the types all throughout Scripture, these different types of the Antichrist. Let me try to write them down for you. He's got seven heads. He's got crowns on those heads, right? Well, who's the first one in your Bible that is deified? Who do men worship first in that Bible? Nimrod. Okay, there's one of the heads. He's the first one that has a kingdom. That's the kingdoms of this world. He's a type of the Antichrist. He's the 13th from Adam. 13th's the number of rebellion, right? Next, you've got who? You've got Pharaoh. He's a type of the Antichrist. You just read it. This is a different Pharaoh than the Pharaoh that came after the children of Israel. But this is, nonetheless, Pharaoh's a type of the Antichrist. Egypt is a type of the world. Make sense? Okay, next you've got the Assyrian or Sennacherib. Okay, that's who you just read about in Isaiah 37. Okay, so the Assyrian, he's a type of the Antichrist. That's why you'll see these things in the Old Testament. You'll be like, well, he's saying the same thing about this guy, because these are all types of those seven heads. All right, next you've got who? The fourth head, you got Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, there's the Babylonian. Once again, notice Babylon here and Babylon here. Okay, you got Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots, Abominations of the Earth in Revelation 17, right? Next, the fifth one, you've got this one here, King of Grecia. You'll find him in Daniel. Now, he's not named. Who's that one? Alexander the Great. He's a great type of the Antichrist. He's not named. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You've got Caesar. Caesar Augustus is named. He's the head of Rome. Right? And then you've got a seventh. Who is who? Son of perdition. All right? So you've got the man of sin, then he becomes the son of perdition. Right? He gets a deadly wound to the head, Revelation 13. It's Satan incarnate in flesh. He's going to rise up and he's going to rule the world. Does that make sense? So you're seeing these right here. This is Pharaoh. He's one of them. He's called the Great Dragon. All right. Flip it back over. So he swims in the water. All right, so let's look at another one. Let's look at Job 41. Notice how it's worded. Job 41, verse 1. Canst thou draw Leviathan with an hook? Remember that? He's going to put a hook in his jaw. Or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Notice this. Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? All right, so this, whoever this is here, this is Leviathan. He's God's servant. All right, turn real fast. Hold your place in Job 41. Go to Jeremiah 27. Some of these references I don't have on the board. Jeremiah 27, verse 6. Well, look at verse 5. I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground. By my great power and by my outstretched arm have I given unto whom it seemed meet unto me. This is God speaking, right? And now I have given all these lands in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, notice this, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given also to serve him, and all nations shall serve him. So we already talked about Nebuchadnezzar being the type of the Antichrist. So what happens in the tribulation? All the nations are going to serve him, that man of sin, and then he becomes the son of perdition. So notice he talks about his servant. All right? All right, keep that in mind. We go back to Job 41. So you've got this beast that's talking about in Leviathan. So who's Leviathan? Go to Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 27. Scripture with scripture, it interprets itself. Isaiah 27, verse 1. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Remember we talked about the great dragon, he's in his rivers. Okay, over here he's talking about the crooked serpent, and his strong sword shall punish Leviathan. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, what comes out of his mouth? Sword, right? Which devours that wicked one. From inside he bursts. All right, he will consume with the sword of his mouth. All right, now let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Getting a picture here who this is. Revelation chapter 12. This should give you confidence in the book above anything else. Okay, this book is written. You're going to have to search some things. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to be a workman. But if you believe the book, God will give you more light. The problem is when people stop believing. Now, we're getting in some wild stuff, are we not? It gets even wilder. Now, God puts these things out here sometimes, like, you still believe my book? Well, you believe what you saw on television last night. But you don't believe my book? You watch all that science fiction and all these gods coming down from the heavens and these UFOs and everything else. Like, Lord's sake, it's right here. You going to believe it? All right. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Look at verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. See those crowns? Those are kings. All right? Look at this. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. See those stars? Those are angels. Revelation chapter 1, verse 20 tells you that. Look down here. Look at verse 7. Still talking about the dragon. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. So he's cast down from the second heaven. He's the god of this world right now. He's the prince of power of the air, right? He's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And then the Lord says, I think it's in Luke, he says, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. That's a future prophecy. This is what he's talking about. This is when he comes down. Look at here. Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. Notice this. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Scripture, scripture. It tells you what the stars are. These are angels, right? Go over here. Look at verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. All right, so you continue to see those things. I think it's mentioned, the dragon's mentioned 8 times in Revelation 12. Okay, so we've identified who Leviathan is. All right, Isaiah 27, Job 41. He's given you a description in Job 41 of that great red dragon. Go back to Job 41. You say dragons are real? You better believe they are. Says what? Says the scripture. Look at verse 19. Look at Job 41:19. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Look at verse 20. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, and out of his seething pot a cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. That's every legend you ever heard of, isn't it? The problem is they're looking over here in the ocean looking for him, and he's not in the ocean. He's in that sea above your head, and he's going to come down to this earth. Amen? So there's Leviathan. All right, now I want you to notice this. Look back at Job 41, verse 4. Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? All right. What's the animal that typifies a servant in the scripture? What's that? That's right, an ox. Pastor went over the other night, the Gospel of Mark is the gospel of the servant, right? He doesn't have any lineage to speak of. He's just a servant. All right, so let's flip this thing back over. Now, what was Nebuchadnezzar called? His servant, right? Okay. Let's talk about this servant real fast. Let's talk about this. We all understand Ezekiel 28. You've been taught that from time of memoriam, right? He's the anointed cherub that covereth, correct? All right, so what faces does the cherub have? First, you got a face of a man, ox, lion, and you got the face of an eagle. All right? Talks about that servant. So we got this ox here. Go to Ezekiel chapter 10. So in Ezekiel chapter 1, that's the order it's going to give you there. Go to Ezekiel chapter 10. Look at Ezekiel 10:14. And every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. And the second face was the face of a man. And the third face was the face of a lion. And the fourth face the face of an eagle. All right, so in Ezekiel chapter 1, he gave you a man, an ox, a lion, and an eagle. In Ezekiel chapter 10, what's he give you? Cherub. What's the next one? What's it say? Man. Okay. Lion. And then an eagle. All right. What's the difference? Okay. So the face of a cherub looks like the face of an ox. Now, when you remember the golden calf, the base of Mount Sinai, what were they worshiping? They're worshiping an ox, a calf. All right, cattle. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. Some of this stuff I pray about it and I said, Lord, now we'll get pretty deep here, but we've got liberty, so let's go to it. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all what? Cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. All right, so That's a weird statement, isn't it? That's a serpent, right? Now, anybody, so what do we got here? This is the crowning of God's creation, man. We've been given dominion. He gave that to Adam, right? To rule all over all the beasts of the field. Next, you've got this one, which is the servant, the ox. He represents domesticated beasts. He's the king over domesticated beasts. Then you've got the lion. He's the king of the jungle, of over all the wild beasts, right? And then you've got the eagle, which is the king over all the fowls, right? Now, what's missing? Somebody said it. You got the reptiles and the fish class that's not found in there. Now, he's the fifth cherub. He's the anointed cherub that covereth, and he's a serpent, and he's swimming in the sea, and he's got the face of an ox or a cherub. You ever seen a picture of a dragon? What's it look like? What's his face look like? Looks like a cow with horns, but yet he's got a body of a reptile. Okay, now that goes more than that. Let's go to Daniel. No, let's go to Job again. First, let's go back to Job 40. Still believe his book? Look at Job 40. Look at verse 15. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as a what? As an ox. Okay, so this one eats grass as an ox. Notice that word Behemoth. I know you've been taught this as well, but let's go over it again. All right, that thing is a Hebrew word. It's a singular word, but it's referring to something in the plural. Okay? Just like this in English. Fish or deer? I know I got a couple fishermen and a couple deer hunters. Anybody ever say fishes or deers? Shot them deers? Well, they might. But you understand that these words here, you say, hey, how many fish did you catch? Hey, did you catch that fish? One singular, one's plural. Same word can be used interchangeably. All right, did you shoot that deer? How many deer did you shoot? See that? Same thing with Behemoth. So that's a singular word in the Hebrew, but it means multiple animals. Now that dragon's got how many heads? Got 7 heads. Now everybody, you know, creation science and all them, they try to make that thing brontosaurus. That's all well and good, but the problem is you're going to science falsely so-called to interpret the scripture. Let's keep seeing what it says. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar, the sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass, his bones are like bars of iron. Notice the brass and iron together. Remember Goliath? Anytime you see brass and iron together, those are representations of the Antichrist. All right? He is the chief of the ways of God. Notice this. He that made him can make his sword approach unto him. Who made Leviathan? Who made Behemoth? God. He that made him can make his sword approach unto him. What's his sword? The sword of God is the word of God. When Satan came to tempt the Lord in the wilderness, what did he say? It is written. It is written. He answered them with scripture. You see that? All right, keep reading. Surely the mountain bring him his food, forth food where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees and the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Notice this. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He take it with his eyes, his nose pierceth through the snares. All right, so let's look real quick. Look back at verse 15. He eateth grass as an ox, all right? Hold your place in Job 40. Go to Daniel chapter 4. Get there myself. Daniel chapter 4, look at verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High. which has come upon my lord the king. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, right? That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee eat to what? Eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth to whomsoever he will. Notice the seven times. How many years you have in Daniel's 70th week? 7 years. And this one here, he's made to be like a beast of the field and eat grass as oxen. He's his servant. Remember that? All right. And so he's going to eat grass as oxen. He's called the beast in Revelation chapter 13. And God can put a hook in his mouth and tell him to do whatever he wants. And he has to do it. Amen? All right, let's go back. Notice in Habakkuk chapter 1, let's go to Habakkuk chapter 1. Notice that verse 9, it says, they shall come all for violence. Verse 10, and they shall scoff at the kings. Verse 11, then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over. Notice how it goes from a plural to singular. Now in history, we understand that's the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians. But I just showed you from the scripture, behemoth is a singular word, which means multiple animals. And that's the Antichrist, prophetically. That's what takes place in the tribulation. All right, go back to Habakkuk chapter 1. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this power unto his God. Verse 12, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine holy one? Remember in Isaiah 37, he mentioned the holy one, right? We shall not die. That's Israel saying, we shall not die as a nation. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. All right, so let's look at this thing. He said, art thou not from everlasting? All right, he's called the everlasting father. Let's look at Micah 5. Go to Micah 5. This is the prophecy of the Lord's birth, right? Verse 2. Micah 5, 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Who's he talking about? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? So you've got this everlasting one. You've got the true God. Remember that he's imputing his power unto another God, unto a false God. Let's look at John 17. Look at John 17. Let's identify. Look at John 17, 3. John 17, 3. And this is eternal, or a life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. All right, so who's the true God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 John. Look at 1 John 5:20. First John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So if you have Jesus Christ, you have present tense eternal life, because he's the true God. He's not the false God that the Antichrist is over there worshiping, right? He's the true God. Says what? Says the scripture. All right, let's go back to Habakkuk. All right, he's talking about from everlasting, O Lord, mine holy one. Let's flip this board. We'll finally get to this. Holy One. All right. I counted it up in Isaiah, just in Isaiah alone, that term shows up 28 times. Well, 7 times 4 is 28. So Holy One shows up. But let's look at it. Let's identify it. All right. Look at Psalm 16. Anybody ever tries to refute the deity of Christ just does not know the Bible. They're of that spirit of Antichrist, as John says in 1 John. Look at Psalm 16, verse 10. Psalm 16, verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Who's the Holy One? Jesus Christ. Let's go back to, hold your place, go back to 1 John. Once again, this thing's a text, it's woven together. That's why Satan loves to tamper with it. 1 John 2:20. He says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. What's that unction? Look down at verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. What's the unction? What's the anointing? The Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? And so what does that unction do? What does the Holy Spirit do? He teaches you all things. Remember I talked about a couple weeks ago about that priest? The priest would make intercession, but he would also teach. John 14, 26. That's why he says you know all things. Why? Because the Holy Ghost within you teaches you the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's 1 John. That's 5, right here. That's 4, 6. So how do you know whether or not it's truth or error? You know it by the scripture. Brother Sam was talking about last night, another preacher, that he misquotes a scripture all the time. He'll say, what does he say? Matthew 28? Into the age, yeah. See, I'm with you under the end of the age. Well, that's not what the scripture says. When somebody misquotes scripture, you go, that's not right. Amen. How do you know that? Because you got the truth. Because right. You got the one inside of you saying, that ain't right. That's not right. Amen. And so when you hear those things, you go, something's off there. They might be good, godly, dedicated men, but I'll tell you right now, man, if they start misquoting the scripture, you better look out. Yeah. Amen? All right, let's go to Isaiah 10. Look at Isaiah chapter 10. Look at Isaiah chapter 10. Verse 17. And the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. What's that talking about? Second Advent, right? When he returns as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Some of those are going to be healed, but others are going to be burnt up. All right, look at Isaiah 12, verse 6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. All right? So that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel. We're not going to take the time to go to all the rest of the passages, but let's go back to Habakkuk 1:12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. All right? So these ones that are ordained for judgment, all right, the ones that do not believe on the Lord in the Old Testament. But also, let's look over here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then we'll go to 2 Peter. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. We just talked about that. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They would not listen. They would not hear. Right? And for this cause shall God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Does that sound familiar? What you're living in right now is a time who men love pleasures more than God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, right? Perilous time shall come. Paul tells you that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. These ones here, ordained for judgment. Now people start looking at that. Well, that's like, no, I'm not talking about Calvinism. You got to compare scripture with scripture. Okay, these folks here, they had a chance. They rejected the light. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Right? For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Whatever doth make manifest is light. God said, Jesus Christ, the Lord said, I am the light of the world. Amen. Right? When you reject the scripture, you reject the light you're given. Woe unto you. All right, so these ones here are ordained for judgment. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2, 9. Talking about, notice how he's talking about here, verse 2:7, and deliver just lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, where is Lot living? Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed for an example, right? As those that live ungodly, this is what's going to take place. All right? The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. All right, look at verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not. Now, what was Nebuchadnezzar made into? A brute beast. Right? He's a brute beast. All right? Well, the natural man, what? Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Through foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Once again, you get light, you reject that light, there's no hope for you. Unless God deals with you again, and that's up to the Lord. All right, so these ones are ordained unto judgment. And Almighty God, back in Habakkuk, thou hast established him for correction. 1:13, well, actually, we'll stop there. It's 10:42, so we're going to stop there in verse 12. Any questions? Any questions? No hands. Okay. All right, if you have any questions, you don't feel like asking in front of the group, come up to me afterwards, and I'll try to help and see if I can give you an answer. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for this time of studying your word. Thank you for the truth you've given us, Lord, and I just thank you for saving me. I thank you for Calvary. And without your salvation, Lord, none of us could see your word and understand a word of this. And Father, we just thank you for that. Thank you for giving me the faith to believe it. And we just we thank you. Just pray that you be with Brother McNeese today as he preaches and brings a message, Lord, and just be with him. Lord Jesus' name we pray, in Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. All right.